This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه من تبع هداه ما بعد. We reached page 17 on morality. One of the most astonishing things in the world is people overrun by corrupt wishes, from which they gain nothing but exhaustion in the short term and distress and sin in the long term. A lot of thoughts go into our minds every single day. True or false? It's true. But what kind of thoughts they are? A lot of things. But if you were to investigate these thoughts, many times they are actually negative. Oh, this will not happen. Oh, I'm afraid that this is going to happen. Oh, I don't want this to happen. And so on and so forth. These are the kinds of negative thoughts. Now that's in a normal situation. What if you have a specific situation where you have hatred to someone else? Somebody did something wrong to you. You will keep thinking about that person. How Allah is going to punish that person. How Allah will take your right from him or her. How all that, is it going to change the truth? It's not going to change the truth. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed is going to happen anyways. What you should do instead, to be free from these thoughts. Because they will only consume you. They will only waste your time and effort and even your health. And it won't change anything from the fact. You look at people, most of them, that's what they are doing, unfortunately. Their example is one who wishes for exorbitant food prices, where such prices would lead to the ruin of mankind. Here is another thing. You are an owner of a grocery store or a supermarket, and you sell food. A seller would like to sell for the best price, for the highest price. So what situation would allow you to sell for a higher price? When there is hunger, when there is famine, so everybody would come to you. Some people, this is what they wish for. I am an owner, I want people to come to me, I hope there will be a hunger. Why? Because they will make more money. True, you will make more money, but at the expense of what? At the expense of the suffering of children, of other people. You never thought of that. You only thought of your own personal gain. So is this a good thought? The answer is definitely no, it is not. But many people, that's what they do. Again, just like the tire shop, where they sell tires, and they fix tires. So before the shop, 500 meters, they throw all kinds of pins. So when you are driving by, you have flat tire and then you come to them. That's not how it should be. Okay? Whoever came, alhamdulillah, whoever didn't come, you don't wish for the suffering of someone else just for you to make money or to make a personal gain. But some people, that's what they do. And this shouldn't be the case with the Muslim. Or it is one who wishes for matters in which there is harm for another and some benefit for himself. Never ever make the benefit of you at the expense of the harm of someone else. The example of this from the Quran, we have a famous story. It's actually the first incident on this earth. The killing of a brother to his brother. The killed, he was able to stop his brother. But he told him, if you stretch your hand to kill me, I'm not going to do the same. If I want to benefit myself at the expense of harming you, I don't want that. He was the better one. So you need to be the better one. as well. Don't make any personal profit at the expense of someone else. And unfortunately, many people, that's how they think. They tell you win, lose. In business, many people, that's how they think. In the Western culture, they tell you think, win, win. And that's actually how the Muslim should think, but not like what they say. They say win-win, but it's not really win-win. They are the ones who are winning. In Islam, it could be both. Both of us. So you make profit, no problem with that. Islam allows you to make as much money as you want, but not at the expense of someone else's suffering. For his wishing for what might happen of these matters does not bring them about before their ordained time. Just because of your wishes, Allah will not change the qadr, the fate. Oh, I want her to face the consequences. I want Allah to punish her. Just this wish will not make Allah punish her because you wanted that, unless Allah decreed that. Just because of your animosity, your issue with her, with him, doesn't make it going to happen. Allah has a decree. Okay, we have to come out of these personal, individual issues. And none of his wishes can come true unless it is in the knowledge of Allah Almighty that they should come true. Had he wished for goodness and prosperity, he would have soon enjoyed reward. See, this is what you wish for. You want prosperity, you want to make money, there is no problem with that. But not at the expense of the suffering of others. He would have soon enjoyed reward, tranquility, and virtue. Here is an example of that. How you could think of it in two ways. One way that is permissible and recommended, and another way that is harmful. The doctor, how he makes money. How the doctor makes money. If there is nobody sick, will someone come to visit and pay the fees and take the medication? No. So how he is making money? By other people becoming sick. So he wishes, oh, I wish a lot of people are sick. Is that a good wish? No. But again, how you are making money? Look at another intention. I hope today I will be able to relieve the pain from as many people as possible. Isn't that what you're going to do when you diagnose the disease and give a treatment? So, one wish was harmful, another wish was noble. And this is what you need always to think. Think prosperity, think positive. And either one will not change the facts, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained. But you will be comfortable and you will get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, it takes only not a lot of effort, just your intention. Purify your intention. Had he wished for goodness and prosperity, he would have soon enjoyed reward, tranquility, and virtue, and would have not distressed himself for a moment. So we should be astonished by the corruption of these morals without any utility. There is no use of them. Actually, the only one that is harmed by them is the one that is thinking like that. He's not getting any benefit. He is only harmed by that. Whoever is tested by vanity should think about his faults. We have people, they like to be the center of attention all the time. They want the world to evolve around them. So if you were tested by that, think of your faults. What if someone said, well, alhamdulillah, I don't have any faults. I don't have any shortcomings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfected few people. I am one of those few. What should you think? Like, if you have this notion, if this thinking, what should you think? If he is impressed by his virtues, he should search for his vices. If his faults are totally hidden, that's the example. If his faults are totally hidden, you think you have no faults, totally hidden from his knowledge, so that he believes that he is free from fault, he should know that he is troubled forever. Why? If you think that there is nothing wrong, why would you even try to improve? The first step for improvement is to acknowledge that there is something that needs to be improved. When you say there is nothing, then you are beyond fixing. There is a problem here. You don't even realize how troubled you are. No one, the Prophet ﷺ said, كُلُّ بْنِ آدَمَ خَطَّى. All children of Adam, they make mistakes. Here is a simple question for you. When was the last time you said, I'm sorry, I was wrong? When was the last time you said, I am sorry, I was wrong? Have you done that? Because if you haven't, then there is a serious problem. If you think that you are too egoistic, too good to say, I am sorry, then there is a problem. All what it takes is to acknowledge that this was a mistake and I'm sorry, and move on. But some people, they even refuse to acknowledge that they made a mistake, although they know it was a mistake. I'm sorry it was a mistake, but it's your fault. That's even a worse apology. When you put it on someone else and then you say, I'm sorry. Just say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Why? Because if you say, no, I wasn't wrong, what do you mean? You're not a human being? The Prophet ﷺ said, كُلُّ بْنِ آدَمَ خَطَّى. All children of Adam, they make mistakes. All. He should know that he is troubled forever, and that he is most among people in imperfection. Why? Because you don't even know what is wrong with you. You don't acknowledge that. But people who are aware of their faults, they will work on them and they will correct them. So they are better than you. The greatest in fault and the weakest in recognition. That's the status of the one who does not acknowledge his or her faults. His utmost fault is that he is ignorant and dim-witted. Ignorant of his own faults. Ignorance by itself is a chronic disease. And there is no other fault greater than these two. For the rational person is one who is capable of recognizing his faults. So he works to correct them and seeks their removal. That's why successful companies always work harder. Always try to get feedback. Always work on the things that they didn't do correct. But if you find a company closing their doors for any feedback, refusing to listen to anyone, most likely they won't survive. Why? They say we are too good, so there is nothing wrong. And you are you as a human being, you will make mistakes. This is a fact. The fool is one who is ignorant of his own faults. We should know with certainty that no human is free from shortcomings save the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If one is not aware of any of his faults, he therefore has fallen from grace and has become so insignificant, wicked and heedless that he is no longer above any vice and he is the lowest of the low. He should save himself by searching for his faults and busying himself by trying to correct them, instead of being vain and seeking the faults of others. This is another problem. If you are free from errors, what will you do? If you think that you are free from errors, no area of improvement for yourself. So you are only looking at others. And now you are troubling others. Yes, others also, they have faults. But before you move to them, you have to search for your own faults. So you forgot about your own and you went to others. That's a problem. Faults that do not harm him in this life or in the hereafter. Even if it's true that the others, yes, they did have a fault and you corrected it. How that will harm you if it was a fault for them? And how that will benefit you? They improved. They are harming themselves. You forgot about your own self. You matter more. Each one of us on the Day of Judgment will be held accountable individually. We are responsible for our own deeds, not for others' deeds. Yes, Islam doesn't tell you ignore others, don't advise them. No, you do that. But when do you do that? After you improve yourself, after you work on yourself. Many people nowadays, they say, I want to give da'wah, I want to make da'wah. And it's good, alhamdulillah, but first prepare yourself, be strong. Learn and then go ahead and give da'wah. What if you yourself, you need da'wah? You have a lot of things that you need to correct. I know of no value of hearing about the faults of others other than learning to avoid them and working to correct what one might share of these faults. Is it permissible to list the faults of people? Isn't that backbiting? Generally it is, but we have certain cases where scholars, when they wrote the biographies of people in the past, they wrote also some of the vices of people that were done in public commonly. There is a reason behind that for us to learn. Just like when we learn about a good personality, how to follow this beautiful example, the same thing, that terrible example to avoid. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a lot of stories in the Quran, the story of Fir'aun. What did he do and how he ended up? And what's the lesson here? It is for us to avoid this behavior. The story of the one from children of Israel. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. This is in Surah Al-A'raf. His name was Bal'am ibn Ba'ura. He was a scholar from the children of Israel. So he had the knowledge, but he followed his desires. So he relapsed. He became worse than the average people of children of Israel. He was against the believers. Why? Because he didn't follow what he learned. So this is the example also. In our time, you don't search for a fault for someone that was done in private and then you publicize it. No. Somebody that is doing something in public, this is documented and people later will read about it. Will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a lesson always. So this is one advantage of listing the vices for people to avoid them, to stay away from them. Not to enjoy the gossip, not to enjoy reading and wasting time, no. We have a goal here. We want to avoid these things. But to speak of the vices of others is in itself a great vice and unacceptable. That's in general. So it is one's duty to keep away from such speech, except to advise someone who might be harmed by keeping the company of people with faults, or to scorn the vain in his face and not behind his back. One should say to the vain, examine yourself. If you recognize its faults, you have recovered from your vanity. Do not compare yourself to one who has more faults than you. Okay, I have a few things here. Speaking about the faults of others, we said one way where it is permissible is to learn from them. This is regarding the people of the past. In our time, somebody asked you about someone. You knew this sister, and you knew about some of her faults. So they asked you about her, and you didn't know what to say. Would you mention the faults or you keep quiet? You keep quiet. Why? This sister is about to get married. Then you must tell why. To warn. Warn about what? What are the cases where it is permissible to mention the faults of others? There are certain cases. Okay? Again, it's not at all prohibited. But these are exceptions. The first case, when you seek justice. Somebody did injustice to you. You cannot say, no, I will not speak about the faults. You go to the judge and you have to say what happened. Why? You want justice. So you list the faults. The second case, just like that case, about marriage. A guy proposing to a girl. And the family were asking about this guy. They don't know him. You know him. You know that he doesn't pray. They asked you and you said, mashallah, he's fine. You are cheating. You don't say, oh, I don't want to speak about the faults. You have to warn here. Or you are dealing in transaction and you know that this person is deceptive. You have also here to mention that. As a teacher, speaker, khatib, when you talk about the faults, just like when the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا بَالُ أَقْوَامٍ, what's the matter with people? They are doing this, they are doing that. Why? You want them to stay away from it. Also, when someone is doing it in public, he's not ashamed of doing it in public, he's not worried about anybody, then here there is no backbiting. Everybody is watching it, so it's permissible also to say it. And finally, when you want to enjoin good and forbid evil, when you report that to the authorities, you know that you have a neighbor who is poor, but one day suddenly he became rich, very rich. And it was reported that on that day there was a heist. So you say, it's not my business, he's my neighbor, I have to be good to the neighbor. You have to report to the police. Maybe he was the thief. Okay, these are the cases where it is permissible to speak about the faults, about the errors. And that's why in Ilm al-Hadith, the knowledge of Hadith, that's why we have scholars listed every single person, whether he is trustworthy or not. They spoke about the faults. His memory is weak. Generally, you shouldn't say that. Who are you to judge me? My memory, my memorization, my trustworthiness. But to protect the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that was permissible. Do not compare yourself to one who has more faults than you. This is the problem with many people. Why you come after me? At least I pray. Go and talk to people who don't pray. You will always find someone less. Why you talk to me? Even if I don't pray, at least I fast. Why you talk to me? Yes, I don't pray, I don't fast, but I have a good heart. I'm still a Muslim. Talk. You shouldn't do that. Always look for people who are better than you. You look for people who are less than you in terms of dunya, not in terms of religion. In terms of dunya, you say, Alhamdulillah. Even if I didn't have enough money until the end of the month, there are people who don't have money at all. That's what you should do. So you would indulge in more vices and imitate those who are evil. Because if you say I'm better than someone else, then there is still area to make more mistakes. Let's go ahead. There are still people worse than me. Imitating people of goodness is scorned, let alone imitating the evil ones. SubhanAllah, this is very amazing. Someone wants to read Quran, and he copies one of the famous reciters. Exactly. When you hear him, what will you say? You will immediately remember what? The original reciter. So this man will always be a copy of that. This by itself is not recommended. And yet, it is a good thing. Why? You are copying someone in what? In good thing, reading Quran. Imagine if you are copying someone, imitating someone in evil. If in good, it is not the best thing, it's second best. How about if it's in evil? It's one of the worst things to do, copying people of evil. And unfortunately, we have people nowadays, that's what they do. Why you have this weird haircut? Well, I saw this singer did it, so I'm doing it. If it's a Muslim, you do it just because you don't know he is famous. You did it because he's a Muslim and you did it. You don't know why. That's not recommended. How about if it's not a Muslim and you are imitating the people of evil? You should compare yourself to those who are better than you. Then you would lose your vanity and recover from this horrible illness, which makes you belittle all people, among whom there are many better than you. Allah says in the Quran, "Let not a people mock other people. Perhaps they are better than them." And this is a fact that many people don't realize. Sometimes you talk about people and they are way better than you. They are actually better than you. Just because you found one fault with them doesn't make them less than you. You found one fault, but you have 10 faults. So don't be happy by speaking about others or finding one mistake. That's why always the good person always goes back to his own faults and trying to improve them. If you belittle them unjustly, then they would belittle you justly. They are better than you. You belittle them unjustly. Because they are better than you, if they belittled you, at least they did it with justice. And you did it without justice. For God Almighty says, "The recompense of a bad deed is a deed like itself. Thus you make yourself worthy of being belittled." And subhanAllah, this is the sunnah of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the way of Allah. No people talked about other people except there was a time when someone talked about them. So remember that. Don't be happy scorning, criticizing, talking about the faults of someone, because there will be a time when someone comes and talks about your own faults. So you better be aware of that. And remember, is it true? Is it valid? If it's valid, alhamdulillah, at least you did it for the sake of Allah. If it is not, you have to refrain. Because for a fact, there will be someone coming and talking about your own faults. If you feel impressed with your wit, think about every wicked thought that passes through your mind and about the false hopes that cloud your thinking. Then you should know the shortcomings of your mind. And alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold us accountable for our thoughts. As long as it's only a thought, it's forgiven. But once you are determined to do what you are thinking, once you do it, then you are held accountable. And I'm telling you, wallahi, in every single day, a lot of bad thoughts come to mind. You remembered some of bad thoughts? She remembered? If you feel impressed with your opinions, think about your mistakes and remember them well. And this is another problem. Now, if people talk to us, we don't listen. Why? We know everything. Who are you to tell us? And this is exactly what we were thinking 10 years ago. And see how much we learned. Now we say the same thing, but 10 years later, if Allah gave us life, the same thing will happen. We refuse to listen, thinking that we know everything. Going back 10 years ago, that's exactly what we felt. We knew everything, we didn't listen. So don't be impressed with your opinions. We always learn. And this is a reminder. What we know is more, or what we don't know is more? What we don't know, even if you live for hundreds of years, still what we don't know is more. So there is always room for improvement, for getting better. Think about your mistakes and remember them well. Think of every opinion you took to be true, only to discover otherwise. And hence, someone else was right and you were wrong. This happens a lot. Lots of efforts wasted, money wasted. And you say, "At the time I thought it was right." Why? Because you didn't listen. Now the same thing happens. So don't be too impressed with your opinion. That's why in Islam we have a process for decision making. We have a process. First, we look at all options. Not it has to be this or that. Who told you? There is a third option, maybe fourth option. Look at all options. Look at the best option, not for you, but for everyone involved. After that, you counsel. You don't make a decision on your own, especially if it's involving other people. You have to ask their advice. And then, once they give you their advice, they give you their opinion, then you choose the best among those opinions. And once that is done, you move on. So, a lot of things involved. If you do this, then at the very least, you would find that your mistaken opinions balance your correct ones. And you would emerge even. But most likely, you would find that your mistaken opinions are greater than your correct ones. And this is how it is with all people, save the prophets. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you feel impressed by your knowledge, then you should know that you deserve no praise. It is purely a gift from Allah. Anything you had, is it something that you earned, you deserved, or it is a gift from Allah? Look at anybody who claimed to be worthy of what he got. Qarun, who was the richest man for ages, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوْتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي I'm given this money because of my knowledge. He didn't attribute the blessing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happened? فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ We caused the earth to swallow him and his property. Now, if you're happy, alhamdulillah, Allah gave me knowledge. Why do you think this happened? Because you are better than other people? It's a gift from Allah. Always thank Allah for that. It is purely a gift from Allah, bestowed upon you by your Lord Almighty. So do not repay him with disobedience, for he might cause you to forget what you have learned and known. And remember, knowledge by itself, it's a two-edged sword. No matter how much knowledge you have, there will be someone who has more knowledge. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ There will be always someone above you. And not only that, Iblis himself, Iblis, he knows more than you. The shaitan knows more than you. But it didn't benefit him. So, don't rely on your own self. You should also know that many of those who value knowledge the most work hard by reading and learning. But in the end, they attain no knowledge. So everyone who has knowledge should know that if knowledge is obtained by hard work alone, others might have been far above him in their level of knowledge. And this is true. You give one assignment to five people and they don't turn it in the same way. It's the same assignment, the same work. Actually, one of them would work harder but get less. Why? Because eventually it's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, it doesn't mean that, okay, if it's a gift of Allah, I don't have to do anything. You do your best. You do your hard work. But then you rely on Allah. Always be grateful. Always thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because indeed it is from Him. It is therefore a blessing from God. Hence, there is no place for conceit here. This is a place to be humble and grateful to God Almighty. To ask for more blessing and to pray that it not be taken away. And again, some people, they were given the knowledge, but it was taken away. Or they have more knowledge, but they are cursed. Every single day we say, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ includes the Jews. They knew the Prophet ﷺ, but they didn't follow. So knowledge by itself didn't save them, didn't benefit them. You should think of all sorts of knowledge of which you are ignorant, and of the various areas of the field in which you are a specialist. You will find that the field about which you boast is much larger than what you know of it. What is the best thing you know? Cooking? You will find someone cooking better than you. Okay? reading, you will find someone. Again, that's the sunnah of Allah. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. There will be always someone better. Even Musa alayhi salam, the messenger of Allah, when he said, I am the most knowledgeable one, Allah taught him a lesson. And he told him, who told you that? Maybe he was the better one. True, he is better than Al-Khadr. But Al-Khadr at that time, he had more knowledge. So that's a lesson for us. Think of those who are more knowledgeable than you. You will find them many. Thus, you will belittle yourself. Think as well how you violate your knowledge that you do not do as you know. And this is true. Do we implement every single thing we know? Unfortunately, we don't. We should. We knew a lot of things. We knew the hadith. We knew this ayah. We knew the meaning. But we just couldn't resist going again. So, have you implemented every single thing you knew? The answer is no. So we have to remember that. Your knowledge, in this case, is an argument against you. You would have been better off not having this knowledge. At least if you didn't know that, you would say, I didn't know. But to know and not to do, that's against you. The ignorant then is more reasonable than you. He is better off and has an excuse. In this particular case, not generally. Of course, always knowledge is recommended. But to intend to learn and not to do, that's a problem. But if you just simply didn't know, at least you have an excuse. So your conceit should completely evaporate. Also, your science about which you boast might be one of the less significant sciences for which no praise is due. Some people, they spend their life learning something that is not really helpful to others. Nowadays, there are some areas, some fields in some universities, I don't think they will benefit people. And not only that, some people, they are learning how to harm others as well. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there was an example of that. One man, the Prophet ﷺ saw people gathered around him. So he asked them, what are you doing? Who is this man? They said, this man knows this and that. And he said, knowing that will not bring you any closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So eventually it's a waste of time. We have in our time a lot of things like that. Oh, it's something I like, it's my job, and even if it's your job. You should always have good intentions. Benefiting yourself and benefiting others. Something that is of no value, there will be always something better. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah says, I know of no science better than, after seeking knowledge, the best thing is medicine. Why he said that? He said, because you are removing pain from people, and that's one of the noble things. So try to list them like that. Knowledge becoming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge that is healing people, relieving them, making them happy. So all these things are in order. But when you choose one that is at the very bottom, even if you are very knowledgeable in it, how good is that? Such as the field of poetry and the like. Some people very well spoken. Poets. But they use that for satire, to attack people, to criticize them. How that is useful? How that is helpful? You should thus look to those whose sciences are far more valuable in this life and in the hereafter. This should lead you to belittle yourself. That's why before you learn anything, ask yourself, what am I going to get out of this? How this is going to benefit me? This should be always your question. And if you feel impressed by your courage, think of those who are more courageous than you. You should examine the strength that God bestowed upon you. How did you spend it? Again, our bodies are not given for us to make statement out of them, to boast and show off in front of others. Look at my muscles, look at my beautiful body, look at... If you use that for a good cause, yes, alhamdulillah. But otherwise, it will be against you. How many people, they were strong, and one virus, invisible by the naked eye, caused them to be laid down forever. So, always think of your shortcomings. You have devalued yourself. If you spent it in obedience to God, then you have spoiled its value by your vanity. Even, see, this is the sad thing. Even when you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a good thing, but then you show off, you spoil the ibadah. Like the one who prays in the night, and after finishing the prayer, not talking to anyone, but feeling that he has done something good. Alhamdulillah, I prayed Qiyamul Layl, I am perfect. Actually, if you wake up and you say, I didn't pray Qiyamul Layl, oh Allah, I am not thanking you enough. Which one is better? Because the one who prayed Qiyamul Layl, it's good. Nobody is telling you that's not good. But do you think that you did everything you're supposed to do? Even if you pray the entire night, did you pay Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala back everything? No. So when you feel that you did everything, you're wrong. Someone else who didn't do what you did, but feeling the shortcomings and asking Allah for forgiveness, is actually nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember the worshippers, the angels, from the time of creation until the day of resurrection, they are worshipping Allah at the same state, out of fear of Allah. So never think that you did enough. Yes, we feel satisfaction when we finish the ibadah, alhamdulillah. We finished iftar, we finished siyam, alhamdulillah. But that's exactly why after ibadah we say astaghfirullah. Why you say astaghfirullah? You didn't do something bad, you were praying to eliminate any kind of this arrogance that I did something perfect. No, you are still full with shortcomings. You're still not thankful enough to Allah. But you did something good, that's all. You should know that being impressed by wealth is foolishness, for it consists of artifacts from which you collect no utility, unless you spend them in the right ways. And subhanAllah, this is so true in our time. At their time, they didn't have banknotes, but now we have banknotes. What is the value of these banknotes? Yes, now, like 50 ringgit, it's a lot. But one day they decide that this has no value. It turns to be what? Piece of paper. That's all. Unless you use it for a good cause. And subhanAllah, many people, they are using the blessing of Allah to disobey Allah. And the Quran told us about those people. وَقَالُوا نَحْنُ أَكْثَرُ أَمْوَالًا. Just because you have more money doesn't make you better than others. They say we are more in wealth. We have abundance in wealth and children. So we are not going to be punished. That's their thought. The blessing of Allah was a cause for them not to believe in Allah. Allah tells the Prophet ﷺ, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ. Say, evil and good are not equal. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ. Even if you are impressed by the abundance of evil. Nowadays, somebody is very rich. Again, don't think that I'm telling you don't get more money, don't become rich. Nobody says it's haram in Islam to be rich. But if you got that money from wrong source, this is against you. This is not for you. This is against you. So don't be deceived by that. Wealth also comes and goes. And it is a test. Just like poverty is a test, riches actually is a test. That's what Allah says in the Quran. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. Don't think the test from Allah is only coming in a form of poverty, in a form of difficulty. No. Form of prosperity is also a test. Are you grateful? Are you thankful? You might lose it and see it in the hands of another. Oh, this used to be mine for a long time and now it's taken away from me. So it might come and go. So to be vain about wealth is imbecility. And to trust in it is delusion and weakness. And if you feel impressed by your beauty, think of what generates from you, which we are embarrassed to enumerate here. What does that mean? Some people are very deceived with their beauty. First of all, did you choose how you are created? Did we choose how we are created? So who's the one who chose that for us? Allah. So we should thank Allah. We shouldn't give any credit for ourselves. And not only that, when we go to the bathroom, what do we discharge? Diamonds and gold? Aren't we all the same in that? So, what is the showing off about? This is something we need to remember. If someone dies and left out in the heat few hours, he or she will stink. The smell will be so terrible that everybody wants to go away. That's who we are. So what is the showing off about? You would feel embarrassed if you lose control over it due to old age. And this is another thing. Beauty, yes, it is nice. It is good. Alhamdulillah. Thank Allah for that. But is it going to stay the same? It's going to go away. That's why actually, if you're smart, of course, if you could get all, why not? But if you're smart, you look for something that will remain. The good character. That lasts more. Beauty, you get used to it after some time. But akhlaq, they are always reviving. The ibadah, they are always reviving. That's what you need to focus on. What we have mentioned is sufficient. In summation, the more dim-witted a person becomes, the greater his illusion that he is the most intelligent of men and the most perfect in recognition. The rational person is one who does not abandon what he recognizes as dutiful. Yesterday we talked about irrational people. We said rationality means what? Being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what rationality means. Here again, another aspect of rationality is not abandoning what is recognized as dutiful. You know, this something is obligatory, you have to do it. Knowledge itself is not enough. Many people nowadays, they commit evils, terrible things. You ask them, what is this? They say, it's my job. I'm paid to do that. This is not enough. They knew that it is evil, but they are still doing it anyways. Whoever causes people to envy what he has, he would have no option but to let them have his possessions. And there is no purpose in this or to prevent them from taking any of his possessions. So he becomes a miser and they become his enemies. Don't tell people, you see, if you have a diamond, very precious thing, what do you do with it? You need to hide it. But if you talk about it every time, people, you wanted to show off, you wanted to show them that you are better. Okay, one day they will plan to steal it from you. One day they will have enough with you and you become their enemy. So you either give it to them or they will be your enemies or you will lose it. So don't cause people to envy you. Yes, envy is a bad thing, that is true. But when you cause it to your own self, this is foolishness. If you wish to give someone something, then do it before he asks you for it. This is more generous, dignified, and worthy of praise. And unfortunately, very few people do that. You know, I need something. You know. But you didn't give it. Why? You waited until I asked you. What does that mean? Even if you had a good intention, it was contaminated here. Why? Because you waited. You wanted to feel that you are needed, that you are asked. If you know someone in need, do it. Help him, help her. And subhanAllah, we are stingy with that. It doesn't have to be money. I'm not talking about money. Even a nice word. They have been waiting for that word. Thank you. Jazakallah khair. When it comes to criticism, we always give it immediately. We're not stingy at all here. What about praise? What about being grateful? Saying thank you. You knew that he or she needed that. But they didn't ask. Offer it. Even if they refused, at least you did your part. But to wait until they ask, that shows that you have some selfishness. Justice is a fortress in which every frightened person seeks refuge. For you see, those who practice injustice and those who do not, once they are treated unjustly by someone, cry for justice and condemn injustice. And this is true. This is the blessing of justice, that even the worst transgressor, worst oppressor, when he is dealt with unjustly, he has been a king for a long time, doing injustice to people, and then he was impeached, now he will cry for justice. So it is a fortress that everyone wants to go there. That's the blessing of justice. Whoever has justice in his nature lives in that strong fortress. Not only that, on the Day of Judgment, one of the seven types of people that will be given the shade of Allah, one who is just. One who is just with what? Every responsibility you undertake. Your wealth, your family, your children, and everything. There are two things for which it is acceptable, what is unacceptable for other things. They are reprimand and apology. It is encouraged in them to enumerate the occasions of generosity and good deeds. Usually, do you recount your good deeds, your generosity? No, you don't say that. I did this for you, I did... No. But in terms of apology, you want to apologize to someone, I'm sorry, please forgive me, remember what I did last time, remember why you want to apologize. So that is permissible here, to recount these things. This is totally unacceptable in other things. Also, when you want to advise someone and he's not listening, you're not trying to show that you are better than him or her, but you want him to do something good. So you say what you have done to make them do something good. Otherwise, you shouldn't mention the good deeds that you have done. Honor for the virtuous man is more valuable than wealth. The virtuous man must use his wealth to protect his body, and use his body to protect his self, and use his self to protect his honor. And use his honor to protect his religion. He must not sacrifice his religion to protect anything. Is there anything more precious than religion? No. What if it will cause you to lose all your money? It is worth it. Suhaib radiallahu anhu, he was migrating from Mecca to Medina. They told him, the kuffar told him, we won't let you go. You came poor. Now you are going with all your money. He said, if I gave you my money, will you let me go? They said, yes. He told them, I hid it there. Go and take it. When he went to Medina, the Prophet ﷺ told him, what a profitable deal you have made. Why? Because what is more precious? Money or religion? Religion. You protect your religion with your money. Same thing with honor. A lady that was known for being... for not being pure, not being modest, no matter how much money is spent, that will not change the fact. So, money is not actually the top, it's the bottom. You use the money for every noble, for every useful thing. That's how it's done. Whoever lacks knowledge of the virtues should rely on what has been decreed by Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For this contains all virtues. People say, I don't know what to do. What should I do? Yeah, you know. See the commands of Allah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Ittaqullah. Ya ayyuhal nabiyu. All the commands, that's what you need to do. What the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to do, what he prohibited us from doing, avoid that. This is what you need to do. You have the perfect example. There are occasions when trying hard to avoid a frightening matter causes the matter to happen. When working diligently to keep a secret hidden causes the secret to become known. This is why exaggeration many times fires back. Be normal, act normal. But when you act suspicious, people will start asking why he is different today. You keep your hand on your pocket. What's there in the pocket? Because you have something. But if you didn't touch your pocket, who would question? They cannot see. But because of your exaggeration in trying to protect that, that caused the secret to be exposed. So nobody is telling you take the means. Try your best, but don't do too much. Don't go beyond the limit. The reason for all these things is excessiveness, which transcends the bounds of what is reasonable. Excessiveness in anything is not recommended. And we are a nation of moderation. Muslims, we are a nation of moderation. Whoever wants to be fair should put himself in the place of his opponent. This way he can see if he is being unjust. And many of us fail to do that, unfortunately. We look at things only from our angle, only. We never try to think from the other side. Even if it is our child, even if it is our relative, even if it is our parents, you need to think the way they are thinking, where they are coming from. That's how you will have a clearer opinion. But if you only think from your own way, you will not be able to evaluate whether your decision is better or their decision is better. How many people we have seen were ruined by things they said? One word could destroy someone, whether here in this dunya or in the hereafter. In this dunya, if you speak something impolite in front of a king, especially if he is a tyrant, you could get killed, true or false. And in the hereafter, the worshipper who had a friend who is a sinner, and he kept advising him, stop sinning, and he did not stop. Eventually he told him, Wallahi, Allah will not forgive you. And Allah said, who are you to tell him that he will not be forgiven? I forgave him and you are ruined. So how many times people were ruined by a word that they uttered? One word. But we have never seen, nor have we been told of someone who was ruined by his silence. So it's always recommended to be quiet. Always. And most of us, if not all of us, we speak more than we should. The only time when you should speak is when you see injustice and nobody is saying anything, and you know. That's when you should speak. Other than that, be quiet. Be silent. So do not say anything unless it brings you closer to your Creator. If you fear an oppressor, then keep quiet. Even if it's an oppressor, keep quiet and you will be safe. Yes, people will say you are a coward. Of course, this is not the best form. Actually, the best thing is to speak the truth, even if you know you might get killed. This is the best form of jihad. But if you kept quiet, you will be safe. But if you speak, you will be ruined. Either way, you might get killed and you don't want to be killed. Or you might say that you are the best king, you are the just king. And he is not. He is an oppressor. And that's ruining you and your deeds. So be quiet. Meetings remove resentment. As if when an eye looks into another eye, hearts are healed. What a romantic statement. Right? But this is true. Look at children. First time they come, they are scared, nobody wants to play, nobody. But then second time, they have the tent, and then they get accustomed and everything is fine. That is true. And it is true with friendship as well. So it's not only about love, about romance, but it's also about practical things. You have your friend, you have been together for a long time, now you are away from one another. The care will fade away step by step. Yes, you miss him, you miss her, yes, you ask, you phone, you try, but they are not there anymore. So the attention fades away. While when they are there, it's more. So again, the direct contact, it's bringing the care better. And as he said here, as if looking into the other eye heals the hearts. It is incumbent upon the reasonable person not to render a judgment for someone just because he is excessively crying, turning, and complaining about an injustice that has befallen him. Always, never judge by listening to one side. They come crying, and you try to sympathize, but they are actually the culprits. They are actually the criminals. This happened a lot. Okay? You don't say they are lying. Yes, you listen to whatever they say, but you don't make any judgment until you hear the other side's story. It happened a lot. And it is happening. People have all sorts of twisting the facts to their own version. So never ever be deceived by how emotional they were when they gave their statement, how much they cried. I have come across people who engage in such practices, and they certainly are the oppressors, aggressors, and thoroughly unjust. And I gave you the example at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, when a man came with his eye, telling Umar, his eye is poked and he wanted justice. He said, where is the man? Where is the defendant? Maybe you poked his both eyes. And that's what happened. So we only see what is done to us. We don't see what we did to others. And I have seen some oppressed people who are quiet, do not complain. That's true also. Just because you are quiet doesn't mean that you are wrong. Sometimes you are submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't want to say anything. You are patient. This happens also. Now, of course, in Islam, it's always recommended to take your right, to demand justice. But if you choose to forgive, if you choose to ask Allah to take your right instead of you pursuing it, that's permissible. But it is also recommended that always ask for justice. But again, just because you're quiet, that doesn't mean you are the criminal. You are the culprit. I have seen some oppressed people who are quiet, do not complain, and show little care. So one might have the impression, and before careful examination, that they are the oppressors. This is a place where matters must be verified. Always verify. Again, especially nowadays with emails. Please, please, do not forward an email. And never ever ask others also to forward it, unless you are sure it is valid. Many crazy news. And you ask yourself, why they are only online? Why no credible agency published that? Why? Why only some people who don't have anything else to do spreading that? Why? So always verify. Always, before you send it. This is a place where matters must be verified and inclinations must be resisted. One should not be inclined for or against one who complains because of the behavior we described above, but should seek fairness as required by the truth of the matter. To be grateful to one who granted you favor is a duty and an obligation. You should repay him with similar goodness, but even more. That was the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Nobody gave him anything except that he gave better. That's the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. You should be concerned with his affairs, defend his reputation well, and be loyal to him whether in his life or after his death, and to those related to him such as his family and the like. You should be affectionate to him and advise him attentively. Talk truthfully about his good character and keep quiet about his bad traits as long as you are alive, and require your descendants to do the same. That's for one favor only? You do all that for one favor? Imagine someone that did all favors to you and still you fail to say Alhamdulillah or thank you. How much you say, not only after prayer, but just when you are sitting, Alhamdulillah, Astaghfirullah. How much do you remember Allah? Do you thank Allah for all the blessings that He gave you? On the other hand, imagine someone that did everything to you, sponsored you when you were an orphan, until you became adult, and sponsored you in school, then in college, and secured a job for you. And after that, you never said thank you, but you speak bad about him or her. How would you feel? How would you feel? What Allah did for us is way more than that. But very few people are grateful. وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. That's what Allah says. It is not part of being grateful to him to aid him to commit bad deeds. This is another thing. Sometimes just because you did the favor for me, I will help you in something wrong. That's not paying the favor. Oh, I helped you. Now you don't want to help me? Well, you helped me in something good. Now this is evil. I'm sorry, I'm not going to help you. Don't pay back in something that will cause you to earn a sin. It is not part of being grateful to him to aid him to commit bad deeds or to avoid advising him against matters that might cause the destruction of his world or his religion. Oh, he did a favor to me, so I cannot speak. I cannot tell him. You have to tell him. It's something, even if he became upset, it's for his own good. He doesn't know what's going behind his back. You told him. So it is about the reality of the matter, about what you're supposed to do, not about what they might react. That's the true payment for the favor. Whoever helps one who granted him favor to commit evil has cheated him, denied his favor, was unjust to him, and was ungrateful to him. You helped him. Why? Because he did something good to you, and what did you do to him? You did something evil. So is that the payment? Is that the repayment for a good deed? No. So this is injustice. That's why you shouldn't do that. And Alhamdulillah, we finished, finally, the book. Jazakumullahu khaira. The two pages, we started with that. Which means you weren't here, first session. One paragraph. Okay. MashaAllah. What's your name today? Whoever is content with the little he has and does not feel the need for the plenty you have has become your equal in wealth. When you are defined by the possessions you have, then you are actually in need of them. Your true value is here within. But you feel that you are defined by the big house you have, the big car, the nice job. Then if you lose them, you lose your value. That means you don't really have a value. So, someone doesn't have a house or a car. And he's happy. Why? He has a decent job and he's not seeking that big house. You have a big house. You have a nice car. You are spending money maintaining them. He is content with what he has. You are actually equal. Even though you have a big balance in the bank account and you have a big house, he doesn't. But you didn't feel content until you had that. He is already content. You are equal. He equalized you. If he becomes self-sufficient but by what he earns and does not need what you are able to buy for him, then he has become far wealthier than you. Although you have more money, right? But he doesn't need all of that from you. You are actually in need of him. You want him to do the job for you. He doesn't want you. Although in figures, he has much less than you. He is wealthier than you. Why? Because he's not in need of that. So the true wealth is what? The true riches is what? Imam Shafi rahimahullah mentioned that the true riches is being content. People aren't content until they have all these possessions, all that, and still they want more. So they're not content. That means they are not rich actually. But the one who's content with the little that he has, he doesn't need whatever you have. He's actually richer than you. And whoever stays above the worldly things for which you humiliate yourself is far noble than you. You had to go here and there for a worldly thing, and he said, no, it's for this world, I don't want it. He's far noble than you. So, that's the end. Any other paragraph? Jazakumullahu khairan wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala Muhammad wa sahbihi ajma'in.